Hello and welcome to the Mercenary Star Podcast. We are a family-friendly podcast about Battletech and the storied mercenary units in the Battletech universe. My name is Seth, also known as White Fox. I am your host for today, and I have a very special guest, a repeat from episode 2, where I messed up the audio, but he is back, and it's going to be better this time, I promise. Derek from On the Origins of Battlemix podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you, Seth? How are you enjoying our cold Oklahoma weather?
Oh, it is fantastic. I am so glad that it is cold. We are recording right here at the end of October, and today, or yesterday sometime, but today and yesterday, the temperature finally dropped to below 60 degrees, and it's amazing. So I'm happy. I'm very happy.
I got my first winter weather advisory from Fort Sill this morning. I woke up to that and looked at it, and I was just like,
yes,
what is going on?
I know. A wintry mix could be headed our way. You know, it's Oklahoma, so you never know. But yeah, thanks for joining me. We are on episode 10, and we're covering McCarran's Armored Cavalry, which is going to be a fun one. They are a unique unit who are kind of all over the Battletech universe, but they don't get a lot of time in the spotlight. So, but they've been around for a long time. So yeah, let's dive into that today. And we're going to have a good time. So,
sounds good.
Let's see. So we're going to switch over to our presentation. So if you're watching on the YouTube channel, you get to see some awesome images from, you know, resources, artwork, stuff like that. Also on Spotify, if you watch the video version on Spotify, you can do that too. So be sure to check those out. Give us a like and subscribe. It definitely helps the channel and helps get us out there. If you're listening to the audio version, thank you very much. Appreciate you. And you know, if you want to see some cool artwork, go check out the videos. But episode 10, McCarran's Armored Cavalry, they were, it's kind of interesting because they actually started, like many mercenary units, as, you know, in a certain house, in a certain nation within the Inner Sphere, and moved eventually to another one. So we're going to look at that. But they were founded in 2930. Let's see, by their illustrious leader, who was?
Lord Gamala McCarran.
Yes, Lord Gamala McCarran in Chesterton, on the planet Chesterton in the Federated Suns. And was he a lord just because, like, I guess, were they the ruling family of that planet?
It's not very clear on that, but it does sound like, at least in his cases, he was a Federated Suns noble who just ended up on the wrong side of a political dispute and kind of, you know, had to go his own way because things didn't work out, you know, very well for him in that case. So it's as you said, it's the very common story of a lot of mercenary units in the universe, is they just happen to find themselves on the wrong side of something, and it's either get cashiered out of the military, find yourself unemployed, lose your land or whatever, or hit the road, take all the weapons that the government issued you, and go make your own fortunes for yourself.
Absolutely.
Or, in some cases, go across the border to the people that you were shooting at not too long ago to turn around and shoot back at the people that you used to be part of.
Right. You know? They didn't quite go directly over there. They did at least kind of go in a roundabout way, you know.
They eventually got there.
But they got there within, you know, less than a decade or two. So there's that.
there was a nice little grace period.
Yes. As a note for, you know, in the BattleTech, you know, public publications and stuff, they did have their own source book, which, you know, not a lot did, but it was in 1992, they had the McCarran's Armored Cavalry source book. Well, we'll see that in a minute, but they were big enough they had a source book with, you know, some new mechs. We'll go over that in a second, too. And, you know, some pretty cool scenarios. I feel like I should go back and look at and play some of those scenarios out of these old mercenary books.
Yeah, because they have a lot of the story scenarios. I think in this one, yeah, I just pulled it up so I can take a look at it really quick. Yeah, they have Burton's Folly, Otto's Last Stand, and the Showdown. So some of the more famous moments of the unit during the, like, Fourth Succession War before the Clan Invasion era. Because I think, yeah, the book is set 30-44.
Yeah.
So it's like that early area. And I think it also, yeah, it's the, I don't know if you're going to mention this later, but it is the one that shows off some of the mechs that appear.
Yes.
And even,
we'll talk about those mechs in a minute. I don't, I have a couple pieces of artwork, although the main splash page artwork that we're showing on the video, and that is also the title page of this, actually has several of them in it. I think it has the Devastator, and I think that might be a Spectre. I'm not sure.
It's an Ost mech. It's one of the Osts.
It was an Ost? Okay, maybe I was wrong then. I wasn't sure on the new sculpt if there was a Spectre yet. So, but yeah, we'll take a look at that here in just a minute too. So, but they did first appear in, not the first, but the second BattleTech novel. Why don't you tell us about that?
So they appear in Sword and the Dragon, or Sword and Dagger, sorry, not
yes.
Sword and Dragon, wrong.
They're fighting the dragon in there. Actually, they're not even. So.
No, they're actually not. I just looked at it, and I was like, oh, Draconis Combine. And I was like,
yeah.
Wrong border. We go the other way. But yeah, they show up in that book kind of as an off, not having read the book, unfortunately, because of how limited copies are due to various real-world issues. Copyright laws and whatnot being what they are. But they do show up in that very much like Seth said earlier. The McCarran's Armored Cavalry is very much a side character through a lot of the BattleTech universe. They appear, they're around quite a bit.
Oh,
they have their own source book, but it's like a lot of offhand mentions, or, you know, in some of the newer books at least, they start to kind of play a
they have I feel like to this
main character role.
Until they've gotten to, until we've gotten to this current, like, end of the Dark Age, beginning of IllClan, I feel like they've been nominated for, like, best supporting character and just have never won the award, you know? And then I feel like maybe in one or two of these earlier books, they were like, yay, we're actually the main supporting character.
We have been a great main supporting character for the Capellan Confederation. I'm just going to say they've done their part.
They have more than their part, I would say.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, so a couple of fun facts, too. The nickname for the unit is the Big Mac. Always makes me think of a cheeseburger. I'm just saying.
Yep.
yeah, so the Mac fought for all of the successor states and against all but one by 2995. When they finally entered into service for the Capellan Confederation, House of the Owl. And then when did they, let's see, in the book that we'll look at in a second, in the source book, even up till even before the Fourth Succession War, they were already fielding some of these more rare mechs. Some Star League era mechs. And we'll talk about that. But as what's that last fact in there, Derek?
The last fact is in 3060, Chancellor Sun Ziuliao offered citizenship and recognition as a house unit. So in a lot of ways, they made it.
They
made
did.
It big. Someone you else know, is now paying for them to
someone else.
Live there.
Yeah. Yeah. Although, it's not all roses, as we'll find out later.
No, but I mean, so like reading into the lore on it, at least they got a really sweet deal because they're part of the military, but they're still very independent. Like you basically have the commander of the Makarans Armored Cavalry as one of the senior officers of the Capellan Confederation military. Like on the decision making, you have basically their newest unit is literally sitting on the Joint Chiefs essentially with the Celestial Wisdom and I forget the. Get the name of the commander of the Capellan Armed Forces, but he's literally sitting in the same room as them making decisions. That's kind of it. And then they're also known for getting some of the more premier equipment and stuff too. So it works out for them where they're getting equipped like the warrior houses. So
No,
I don't know.
they definitely have found themselves in a good position. But because they are a supporting character, they don't always come out looking the best. They don't always make it out of the battle as a victor. They do sometimes, but sometimes not, and
I mean,
maybe
the
more than
Fourth
often
Succession
not.
War worked. The Fourth Succession War worked out pretty well for them,
It
so.
did. It did. They came in and they saved the Capellan Confederation from losing a lot of worlds.
Yeah, they played a big role in that.
But yeah, I think one of the things cool that's another thing about them that's pretty cool is that, and I keep forgetting this, but their paint scheme or one of their paint schemes is this blue and yellow on this awesome artwork that Catalyst released as part of their Kickstarter stuff. Has a Devastator there, looking all awesome. There's a Caesar, right? That is a Caesar, yes.
Yep.
Yeah, not the Cataphract. And then you're right, that is there's an Ost. There is Warhammer in the background, and then there's a whole bunch of mechs dropping out of
Think that's a Thunderbolt is the one
It
in the
does look
air,
like a
and I
Thunderbolt, you're right.
don't know which one is coming out of the drop ship. But that's such a great piece of art.
It really is. It really is. We've got an attack helicopter. We've got an armored ground car there as part of it.
I actually think not to cut you off, Seth, but I actually think the art for this is from one of the scenarios in their source book. I think
Yeah,
so. If I
might
remember
be.
correctly, I'm pretty sure it is. So, because
I
they
didn't
really like
realize
the
there's a
look.
hunchback in there, in that image.
Oh, yeah, there is.
Yeah. If you're looking at the image, it's
Oh, yeah.
behind the farm mech on the side. It's in the shadows because it's in like a hangar bay, but yeah, that's
Where in the
cool.
world is the Hunchback?
I don't know. And I don't know who they're attacking either. Some Fed Sun unit, obviously. 'Cause
Yep.
there's a flag on the ground to Derek's, it's breaking his heart over here.
Well, when I put the artwork as my background on my computer on my main desktop, I actually cropped out the bottom so I didn't have to look at that. I got still a cool piece of artwork, just I didn't have to see. And I have to see that.
Fair enough, fair enough. It is actually with the logo on the side, it is actually the second McCarran's regiment. So that's pretty awesome. I do like that artwork. So yeah, I have another piece of artwork too if you're checking it out, done by someone online. I'm trying to remember their name. It's like Spooky 777, I think. Credit to him. But it's pretty awesome. It's kind of hard to tell, but on the hip of the Atlas there is a McCarran's logo. And they're facing off against Fed Sun's Victor. I'm wondering if that is supposed to be a battle from Sword and Dagger, because I know Arden Sortek pilots a Victor in
I
that.
don't know because there's battle armor in the picture.
Oh, you're right. You're right. There is.
So
So
it would
maybe not
be,
then, probably.
it's probably, it might be a dark age, might be
Yeah.
dark age, might be, I mean, there's a wide time period where it could be from.
It's true.
So, but it definitely looks really cool. It's a really great job.
Yeah, I thought it was a great piece of art. And I was going to use that until you thankfully reminded me of the new art that we had. So, but yeah. Also, again, in the presentation, if you're watching the video, image of the source book and of Sword and Dagger, their first appearances in source material and novel. We also have all of their... They actually have 5 regiments, which is pretty big. I think the Wolf's Dragoons is the only other unit to be that big. Like, over you know, 5 regiments. Because technically they had a 6th for a while. Like, a very short time.
Yep. They are... Even though they are the main supporting character of the BattleTech universe in a lot of ways, they actually are one of the most successful mercenary units too, because they are huge.
They really are. It's kind of impressive.
And playing into the nickname.
Yeah, it's kind of impressive that they had that many regiments almost, you know, from their inception. So we got a really awesome old picture of an awesome that is like chromed out. And which is pretty cool. And then all the 5 different logos for them. And that's another reason why I feel like I'm always thinking, oh yeah, they're green. They're green. You know, should be a green colored paint scheme, right? Because 4 of their like 6 logos all have green in them. But yeah, the source book does have some pretty incredible black and white line art though. And so, yeah, if you get a chance or you have that, definitely check it out. Like I said, it does have the first appearance of, I believe, the Devastator. At least we think it's the first appearance. And because that was 1992. And I remember I was playing BattleTech when the Devastator came out. And we were like, oh, yeah, it's basically like a bigger, beefier Warhammer. That's kind of what it looked like. You know, it has 2 Gauss rifles instead of 2 PPCs and... So I remember my friend getting the model when it first came out, and it was really cool. It was probably about then in the early 90s. So,
yeah, because it's the source book's the first appearance of the Devastator, the Star Slayer, Spectre, the Poe, which is cool. Which I actually didn't know the Poe tank showed up in this, and then the Boeing Jump Bomber.
Yeah. Yeah, some fun units that are included in that. And it also goes to show, you know, like we said earlier, in 2995, they got the planet. We'll kind of go through their history in a second. But when they joined the Compelling Confederation, they were given a planet, and apparently they found a Star League cache. You know, that's where they got some of these mechs.
How convenient. But yeah,
how convenient. But they also had the Falcon... they also had the Spectre. So the Falcon, the Spectre, the Star Slayer, and the Devastator were all Star League era machines. I think because they came from the Federated Suns, they also had the Commando, which was pretty rare outside the Federated Suns. So yeah, there was there's some cool stuff there. So, as far as the... As far as the unit, let's have a little bit of their unit summary here. Again, we talked about they were founded in 2960 until Lord Gamala McCarran was killed on New Roads in an attack by House Karita in 2970, and that is when they ended up leaving the Federated Sun service. And actually going to serve House Steiner for a bit. But that didn't last long. They didn't really like how things went. And then where'd they go from there? Do you know?
I believe they went into, if I remember correctly, they went into Karita service for a little while, I think.
Yes.
And then, because the only state they never attacked as a mercenary unit was the Capellan Confederation. Mm-hmm. They did fight basically everyone else, but they didn't fight the Capellans. And then from there, eventually they would, if you want to go into the next point, stumble their way into where their main home is for most of their existence.
Yeah, 2995, they went to, you know, left the Combine and entered service for the Capellan Confederation, where they when they arrived in 2996, and Maximilian Liao not only received them with open arms, but he gave them a fully supported base to serve as their home, and in Minki. And so, they kind of got their home world as a that was a pretty big deal. I mean, we have other mercenary units like the Highlanders and the Dragoons and, the Grey Death that later get some sort of home world, but timeline wise, this was pretty early.
Yeah, they're one of the first units to get like a, hey, this is your home kind of thing. And then on top of that, the fact that Maximilian was like, cool, I get a large mercenary unit, and all I got to do is just pay for it. Neat. This sounds like a great deal for me. So
Right.
it's
And they
not
brought
like
lots of
buying a
equipment.
single. Yeah, I mean, they're bringing five regiments of, or I think it's four regiments at the time. You're bringing four regiments of battle mechs, tanks, and infantry. Like, hey, I'll give you a planet. I'll give you a home. I'll help pay for it. Like, by the
Yeah.
way, defend my border and make the bad man across from it that's nicknamed the Fox go away or stay on his side at least.
Yeah. And that's kind of what they would do from then on. They would work as a reserve unit for the Capellan Confederation, from 2996, until present. Occasionally going out and doing a few other things. There was like 1 year after that where they served House Merrick for a very short period. Like, I don't even know if it was a full year, but it was, I don't know, it was weird. It
Yeah,
was on.
they're kind of seconded to House Merrick as part of like the alliance between
Yeah.
Caerita, the Capellans, and Merrick, but nobody really got along, so it kind of just didn't work out very well, and then they went home.
Yeah, for sure. And then yeah, in 30 what happened with them in 3022?
2022, basically, Max Liao kind of took the leash off of them and pointed them in the direction of the Federated Suns and said, go mess them up. They jumped the border and started doing some shenanigans, which then led to Hans Davian getting very, very upset and doing other shenanigans back to them. It kind of turns into a nice little grudge match across the border for the next, well, up until the Fourth Succession War and then even
Yeah.
after. Or Succession War.
Yeah, I mean, that having reread the Warrior trilogy recently, that I feel like the Fourth Succession War was kind of the revenge point for McCarran's coming into the Federated Suns and causing all that damage, that he was like, all right, well, I'm just gonna take all of these worlds, or as the famous line is, I give you the Capellan Confederation as his wedding gift to Melissa. But yes, that was, kind of a major conflict during that time. Off also what started the Fourth Succession War, like I said, in a roundabout way. But leading up to after that, in 3050, Archibald McCarran passed, who he was the son of Gamala, right?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. So he was the one who had led him out of the Federated Suns all through the Inner Sphere, landing there. He passed in 3050, and then Marcus Baxter was the first non-McCarran to take command of the unit and would lead them throughout the next 10 plus years through fighting against the Federated Commonwealth, also fighting in the Capellan St. Ives War, and then also against the Smoke Jaguars and Operation Bulldog later on. And part of it was that he was basically taking command while Archibald's children, Ramses and Faith McCarran, were still coming into their own. They were still pretty young when that happened, so.
Kind of played the role of like of regent, I guess would be the best way for the unit, the best way to describe him.
Absolutely.
Although I think, fun fact, before he died, that grudge match we were talking about in the 3040s would accelerate even more, especially with the second Mac doing some some shenanigans across the border at the behest of Max Liao, and they'd go burn down a Federated Sons fort, which is where the Devastator comes from. They capture it and bring it back. And Hans Davian, in retaliation, sends the Fox's Teeth to go across the
Yes.
border to Mankiw and basically burn the McCarran's base to the ground. So
Yeah.
the elite, elite forces of the or the Special Forces mech unit of the Federated Sons comes across the border, burns the space down, and even destroys the golf course for the base for good measure. Because the senior officers can't have what they want.
Nope,
We're gonna
nope.
mess up your tee boxes and
It's
everything,
definitely a
and then
grudge
leave.
match.
So yeah, it turns
Yeah.
into a bit of a slap fight across the border of like, how dare you do this? All right, well, I'm gonna go do something back to you too. So how does that feel? I just burned your precious golf course to the ground.
But Ramses and Faith would take over, and they would lead it for a while until Faith eventually got killed in a battle in which she piloted a Star Slayer, interestingly enough, which yeah, it's a solid medium mech, but you don't necessarily think of a regimental commander in a Star Slayer. But yeah. And then Ramses took over for a while until his son took over. Well, if you want to talk about good old
Oh,
Xavier.
Xavier. So Xavier takes command of the regiment in the 30, I think it's 3109. Let me look really quick just to make sure I get my dates right. Yep, 3109. So he takes command in 3109 at the death of his father and commands the regiment basically through the late Republic or the Republic era, and then going into the Dark Age. He commands the regiment all through most of the conflicts of the Dark Age, up until he says the wrong thing to the wrong person and tells somebody no. He told the celestial wisdom of the Capellan Confederation no, and your ideas are bad, and it ended in his arrest and very unfortunate demise. So.
Yes. That was unfortunate too, because it was also in part due to the Big Mac's failures in the novels, the new novels, Blood Will Tell and Grey Watch Protocol. Because
Which is based on events from Fortress, Shattered
Shattered
Fortress, where we
Fortress, yes.
got a little bit more explanation on that, so.
And so that yeah, they basically failed in both of those endeavors. One of them being the goal of capturing Northwind, because Northwind has one of the few remaining working HPG stations in the end of the Dark Age, beginning of Ilclan era. And then, as opposed to someone within the unit taking over, Daoshun Liao promotes his sister. Giving air quotes there, because the BattleTech universe thinks that she's his sister, when in reality she is his illegitimate child. And so, but yeah, so Danny Liao Centrella is given command, and is the current commander going into Ilclan. So, which I do like her
Xavier.
as a character. I think she's a very interesting character. She is fully supportive of, the Capellan Confederation. She's very smart, and she's also one of the most capable warriors. So yeah, I find her very interesting as a character. So it'll be interesting to see where she goes from here.
Also one of probably the most reasonable leaders currently in the Capellan
In
Confederation.
yes, for sure. It's almost like, because I know she's not an exact blood relative of Kyle or Leo. She's not a direct descendant, mind you. But she pilots Yuen-Lao Wang, or the current iteration of Yuen-Lao Wang, which it has a shield and a hatchet and an MRM.
Believe so,
I think
yeah.
it's like an MRM-40 or something.
Because he actually left the original mech to her when he met her,
Yes.
like when she was really young. He basically felt, kindred spirit kind of thing of like this is this I like this one right here. So
Yeah.
you get my battle mech. So
which is a big
you'll go
deal
off and do
in the
great
BattleTech
things.
universe. Being, inheriting a mech, I mean, that's kind of where everything started. Through the Succession Wars, it was all inheriting mechs until they were starting to be produced again. So,
Well, on top of that, inheriting that mech too.
oh yeah.
That's that one's that one was
It's
involved in a lot of storied events.
oh, 100%. It's still one of my favorite to pilot in MWO as well. I've got it painted a little different. It's got a blue and white sunburst as opposed to a red and white sunburst. But yeah. I've always loved that mech. So, and speaking of Yunla Wang, if you haven't picked up the BattleTech Essentials box set from Target, you should definitely go find it and pick it up. It's only $25. It has Yunla Wang and a rifleman called Legend Killer in it. It's a fantastic buy. And we definitely want to continue to say, yes, make BattleTech available in more mainstream retail locations. And this deal with the Catalyst has with Target is fantastic, and we want to support that. So, very
More
cool.
battle tech, more better.
Yes, 100%. So, okay, before we get into this last section, anything else that you liked that you thought of about McCarran's that you want to highlight about them?
Well, so the big re like the big reason I'm here today is one, I decided on to use them as my next Op 4 unit. I decided because of my various factions being Merrick, Federated Sons. I was like, I need somebody that everybody can fight, so them.
Oh, yeah.
But I honestly, it's I because before I chose, I sat down and started reading on them, and I really like their history. I love the name for various reasons. But it's just because they're, in my opinion, one of the coolest units that House Liao has. Because they do have that mercenary slash, they're not your typical house unit. I mean, like most people, when they pick Liao, will pick the warrior houses. I was like, cool, I want to be the guy that goes against the grain and picks something else, but also
Yeah.
something very unique in its own way, which McCameron's definitely does. Plus, reading the Highlander, the two Highlander books where they're featured heavily in that,
Yes.
and then some of the other stuff I've read up on them and seen in different scenarios, and I'm currently reading Daggerpoint where they're also featured, so. I've read a lot of McCarran's stuff lately, and now I'm like, you know what? They have some cool paint schemes, so why not paint them up?
They
Have
really
a good
do.
time with them.
They really do. And it kind of makes me think about this now. On one of the on the most recent BattleTech activity book is a yellow and blue Star Slayer. And I'm assuming it's the one from the Big Mac, probably Faith's, maybe even. I don't know. I liked the color scheme. I didn't realize it was McCarran's. So. Yeah, okay. Well, there are I believe six major pieces of fiction that include McCarran's Armored Cavalry because none of them are really about McCarran's Armored Cavalry. I mean, like I said, the two that come the closest are Blood Will Tell and Grey Watch Protocol. But Sword and the Dagger was the very second BattleTech novel published in 1987. They were mentioned in Warrior Coup by Michael Stackpole in 1989 as an antagonist in that. They were part of Threads of Ambition, which is the Capellan duology, because it's two books, right?
Yeah, it's like the first book. There's two of them, but I know they show up pretty because they play a big role in the St. Ives War, and that's what the fiction is
Yes.
about. So they show up in there, and then I think in its sequel a little bit. I haven't read them. I've just seen the
It's
summaries.
been a
I mean,
really long time for me, so.
yeah, I want to get back. I think after Daggerpoint, those are the next two BattleTech books. I'm embracing the Capellan reading now, so.
Yeah. But that was 1999, and then we didn't hear from them really again, other than mentions probably in some of the source books. I know they were in several of them, but Grey Watch Protocol from Michael J. Saravella in 2020. Blood Will Tell by Jason Smetzer in 2021. And then they actually are in Shrapnel number 4 in written by in a story called All Good Things by James Lee. And that was 2021 as well. And then you said Dagger Point. What was Dagger Point? That's
Dagger Point's a book about the I think it's one of the follow ups to the sorry, I'm like stumbling over my words. It's one of the follow ups to Twilight of the Clans. That's what I'm thinking. And okay. It's the Iridani Light Horse after that in the lead up to the St. Ives War. So they get sent off as peacekeepers on the border by Victor and various other people. And the opposition force for them is I think it's actually the second Big Mac. It's one of the I think it's the second.
Yeah.
Is kind of their opposition force with other factions kind of involved as well, or like other Capellan groups involved. So it's kind of telling that. And then with All Good Things, the story actually is about another mercenary unit that's in the background that Seth will talk about much later, the 21st Centauri Lancers. It's actually about them, and the Big Mac plays
yeah.
the side character role yet again.
Mm-hmm.
So
the antagonists for the...
They're working alongside them.
Oh, they are working alongside them. Okay, mm-hmm. I couldn't remember.
Because it's Operation Guerrero is what the story's set during. So
that's right.
Working together. Yep.
Yeah, so I feel like, though, that, like I said, they're definitely an interesting unit. They've got a lot of rich history. It's just been in and around everyone else's history. to a point. So definitely check them out. We'll have the book list on the podcast and on the video, so you can check it out there. But one thing we're starting now, because we've moved on from all of the current force packs that are available, but we're going to talk about what do you think a good force pack for McCarran's Armored Cavalry would be. I mean, we've kind of talked about some of their rare mechs, and I feel like that's a pretty good place to start. But what do you think?
I think going along with the script's trend here, a repose of the Star Slayer, because we're already getting a Star Slayer.
Yes.
Maybe a variant of the Devastator, but I'm a little torn on that one.
You know what? Maybe a variant of the what was the other one they had? The Spectre.
Yeah, could do that. I was also thinking you could use it to get some of the other Capellan mechs, like the Liao, or what is it, the Liao Bang, the it's not the J. What is it called? It's the one with the big feathers on the back. I'm trying to remember what it's called. But now I'm gonna have to sit here. Time to go to Sarna.
It's fine. Yeah, go to Sarna. Look it up.
So I had to move things around a little bit. But yeah, I think some of the Capellan mechs would definitely be like I said, the Liao Bang, which is basically a Victor with just a new gun added onto its arm. Maybe like a Thunder, which would be pretty cool. A gun, one of the Capellan light Omnis from the dark, from the Ilklan era,
mm-hmm.
just to be a way to kind of get some of these other mechs from different eras as well in there. Because they are a house unit at the time. So just kind of using my dream is get some other mechs rather than recopies of what we already have. But
yeah, for sure. And we have I think a jumping Spectre would be pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, going with what they put in there, we've got a repose, a variant, a jumping, and then a new model.
Yep.
I think the jumping Spectre would be awesome. I don't know if it's supposed to be in the Kickstarter stuff, but we do have a new model for it, at least, new artwork. So I think that would be pretty awesome. It's 35 tons. It does have jump jets. And so, yeah, I think that would be pretty awesome. It's decently well-armed. It's got an EMC or an ECM, a large laser, two medium lasers, and a small laser. And, and you know, goes 118 kilometers per hour. So
A nice little mech.
nice little, yeah, it's 35 tons. So I feel like that's a weight class that is has a lot of important mechs, and so this definitely gets overlooked, you know, because there's things like the Wolfhound and the Raven and all these others, but
Yeah. Ooh, that's another one. A repose or a variant of the Raven. Because that
as a
is a compelling
Capellan,
mech.
yeah,
Yep.
absolutely. But I do like
Or.
that. I do like the idea of the Lubing or something,
Yeah.
as a new introduced mech, something that is a Ilclan or Dark Age era. Because that's another thing too, is that, you know, the Republic of the Sphere, they were like, hey everyone, why don't you go ahead and get rid of all your mechs? And you know, some people hid some here and there, except for the Capellans. They were like, no, we're gonna keep all of ours.
They were the ones that openly armed
They
themselves
did,
and
and they
looked at everyone
openly
else and
had
said,
war
no.
with the Republic.
Yep. Multiple, actually.
Yeah, so it also put the McCarrans in a really good position going into Ilclan, because they're still a 5-regiment, you know, fully armed mercenary unit. Not even the Wolf's Dragoons were that. Not even at the beginning, like not even in the recent Dark Age, they were, you know, much less in the during the Dark Age. So, and especially after Battle of Terra.
Yeah,
So Big Mac
they're
is,
not in a great spot.
yeah.
Come Empire alone.
Yeah, so it's definitely an interesting position for them to be in. And again, I look forward to seeing where they go with Danai as their commander, as they, I mean, really, that's what we're all waiting for, right? We're waiting to see what the Capellan Confederation are going to do against Clan Wolf
Wolf.
and the new and improved Star League 3.0.
Yeah,
Or is it 4.0? I have lost track.
I think it's the third Star League. You
Yeah.
can't ask them that. As far as they're concerned, they are the Star League. But
Yes.
for those of us citizens of the Inner Sphere, they're Star League 3.0.
Yeah.
They're
But
the clan version of it.
they are. They're the first clan version of it, you know. But what's interesting is that we, as of right now, we have a new world event within Battletech that is about to kick off, where we basically are going to be playing the Capellan Confederation against Clan Wolf, Jade Falcon, and Smoke Jaguar as the new Star League. And so there's details coming out about that. I know that the Catalyst demo agents are going to be running those in, you know, local game shops from mid-November to end of the year, I believe, or maybe even into January. And so if you have a local game shop, go check it out and see who is running this worldwide event, because they're going to report it. And it's not the entire battle of the Capellan Confederation, or it's not the entire war of the Capellan Confederation versus Clan Wolf and Terra. I think it's for one or two planets, maybe. But it's going to become canon. Like the results of, if, you know, whoever's playing the Capellan Confederation beat the clans, or if the clans beat the Capellan Confederation, whoever has the largest amount of victories will become the canon victor, as opposed, you know, in this part of the universe, which I think is really awesome.
Yeah, it's fun getting to actually have an impact, like our games getting to have an impact on the universe itself. Which,
Absolutely.
so to shout out the Oklahoma community on that, because our demo team here is actually going to be running those games here soon. I believe the Oklahoma City game is, I think, the weekend of Memorial Day weekend, or Veterans Day weekend, sorry. Memorial Day is in May. I know they're running it that, and then I believe the next weekend down here in Lawton, where I'm located, we're going to
Yeah.
be running the same those same the first two events of the setting. So basically the first of two scenarios. They're going to run one in each location. And then I believe in December, they're going to run like an Alpha Strike version. There's an Alpha Strike and Classic scenario. So the
Versions.
first one is Classic, and then the second one is Alpha Strike. And I believe they're going to do that in December. So I don't know the dates for that one yet, but I do know that.
So yeah, definitely check your local game stores for that, or your local communities, because that is happening. That is happening now. And so I'm gonna have to see what I can't do. I have travel coming up for work, so I've got to make sure I can try to make it in at some point. But I'm excited for
Oh,
that.
yeah.
I think that's really cool. I do like BattleTech will turn 40 in next year, in 2024. And the fact that this isn't even the first time they've done this, but it's the first time that I've had an opportunity to participate. So, so I'm looking forward to being part of that. Well, Derek, thank you for joining. I greatly appreciate it. This episode has been about a month in the making, so apologies to all of my fans of the Mercenary Star podcast, because it was a not rough in terms of, anything bad happening for my family, but just rough as far as scheduling. We had school starting, and then we had some other stuff happening, and then I had more work travel, and so and then scheduling conflicts with trying to get some episodes recorded. So yes, it's been almost 2 months, and I greatly apologize. But we're making it. We're getting it in right at the end of October, so it won't be actually 2 months. It'll be 1.5-ish months.
And
So
then
yes.
I was the audible guest who just was like, "Yeah, I'll do it. I got
Hey, I appreciate you stepping in for sure. And yeah, shout out to Oklahoma BattleTech. I am going to be getting another friend of ours from the Oklahoma BattleTech community to join an episode in the near future. But he was unable to do this one, which is why Derek so readily stepped in. And honestly, it's awesome to hear they're going to be your op four. So we'll get to see someone on the table too.
I'm glad
But let us.
I saw that your need for that. Sorry, didn't mean to
Yes, no,
interrupt.
no,
I'm
you're
glad I
fine.
saw it and I was like, I got you. I'm
Yeah,
here.
I appreciate it. But yeah, let us know in the comments. Let us know, in the chats or online. Why you do or don't like McCarran's Armored Cavalry. I'd love to know. And then we are going to have, obviously, we'll pick back up with more episodes coming soon. Also, we're going to have a special episode coming soon where I introduce a friend to BattleTech. So that'll be a fun one as well. So, but yeah, also, if you haven't noticed on the screen so far, definitely check it out. We have a sponsor for the show is Fortress Miniatures and Games, and they are a fantastic online resource for all things BattleTech, as well as some other fun stuff. But if you don't have a friendly local game store, definitely give them a look, because they have everything you need and are pretty quick to get it out to you. So that's once again Fortress Miniatures and Games, and you can check it out. There will be a link in the show notes. But also support your local games stores too, because we want, again, everyone to be. We want more BattleTech. Everyone more BattleTech.
BattleTech more better.
Yes, absolutely. So, but Derek, once again, you are a host on the Origins of BattleMechs. But what other podcasts and shoutouts do you have for me today?
So of course, Armor Up, our fellow podcast that goes along with On the Origins, and my new project that I volunteered myself for, Aviator Academics, where we'll be doing something similar to what we're doing on the Origins and on Armor Up, but this time covering warships, jump ships, aerospace fighters, and drop ships, and just going through the entire history of all of that. So
That's awesome.
hopefully our first episode, first full episode, I should say. We already have a primer episode out. Our first full episode should be coming out hopefully at the end of November, depending on my travel schedule. It's a busy month with weddings and whatnot going on, so I'm gonna try and get that out as soon as I can because I know a lot of people have been asking me for it. So that's what we're doing over here, so.
That's exciting. Yeah, it's a huge part of the BattleTech universe is space travel, right? And so it'll be fun to get a good look at all of that. And who knows what may come of it. Maybe there's another project that, might come around later. Like, I'm giving him a hard time
Push
because
that
we were
on me,
talking about
Sam.
this. I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to say anything. But Brute, if you've made it this far into the episode, we were already talking about you and what you're talking about, so.
This is
Awesome.
how I get volunteered into more things.
I understand. I understand. Well, Derek, thank you again for joining me on episode 10 of Mercenary Sharp Podcast, where we covered the McCarran's Armored Cavalry. So we are going to end today's episode and move on. But please, again, give us a like and subscribe. Rate us on any podcast platforms you may be listening to. It definitely goes, a long way to help us. And I try to read comments and stuff as quickly as I can and respond to them. So looking forward to it and look for more stuff coming soon because we're back at it and appreciate all of you for your support. So thank you and good night and God bless.
Have a good night.